taped January 11th, 1986, at a regular meeting of the Hotchkiss-Crawford Historical Society. Elaine Henderson interviewing. Alma, what was your mother's name?
Margaret. Badini. Marta.
How do you spell the Badini?
B-A-D-I-N-I.
Where was she born?
She was born 1877, April the 23rd, in Colasca, Italy. And she passed away February the 18th, 1948, at the age of 71.
And what was your father's name?
My father's name was Peter Marta. And he was born 1868 at the age of 22, August the 22, at Colasca, Italy. And he died April the 20th, 1949, age 81.
And when did they come to the United States?
Dad came to the United States about 1900.
1900, all right.
And mother came about 1902.
They didn't come together then?
No.
Did they know each other before they came?
They had three children before they came.
Now you just told me they didn't know each other. They were married in Italy then?
Yes.
All right, okay.
And then Dad came to United States in 1900 to find work and see where to settle down.
All right.
And Mother had three little children, so she was there.
She stayed in Italy.
Italy. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, her brother and her came to Colorado.
All right. Now we're going to...
Dad was settled in Somerset.
Fine. We'll stop there, Alma. But I do want her to tell you about her parents. Can you tell us a little about the parents, Alma?
Okay. My folks came from Italy, Colasca, Italy. Dad came first in the 1900s. And he left mother and three children there. So he came down. He came to Colorado, and he landed up at Telluride. He worked in the mines up there. But he didn't like it to bring a family up there with all the saloons and everything. So he landed back down here, and he went to Somerset, and he went to work in the mines. And soon he's got enough money. By then, he sent for mother and the three kids. So they came, and they went to Somerset. And only housing they had, it was in these tents, roof. There wasn't no homes hardly then. There was no road to Somerset. Only thing there was a Fire Mountain Canal and the railroad. So they didn't have many homes, and they lived in these tents. And then, after they lived in Somerset for many years, several years, the railroad, these boxcars with these big doors, they'd fall off. Dad could pick them up, and the railroad men helped him pick them up. And they said, where'd you want to... Dad filed on a piece of land up toward Valley and Somerset, in between. Dad filed on this land. And so he said, they asked him, where do you want to throw these boxcar doors? He said, easiest place, you can slide them off the hill. And that's where he built the house, a little cabin. And he used boxcars to build the cabin. And to line up the, put the roof on it and the siding, he took these 25-pound carbide cans that they used in the mine for the lights. And he lined the whole house on the outside. Later on, us girls used that to the outside for blackboard. And then, later on, when he built this cabin and all that, mother and the three kids moved. No, then my two brothers were born in Somerset, John and Joe. They're born in Somerset. And when Dad had the house built down on the farm, their valley, I was the first one born down there. Then Margaret and Edith was born there. And later on, they added more house to it and moved this here building up on the side. and we kept it for a good many years. And it, I didn't write that down. And when our house, and then, let's see.
Tell them where it was, Alma.
It was between Bowie and Somerset, halfway, 2 miles east of Bowie and 2 miles west of Somerset. So we lived there. Folks had built a nice little house there. And then folks homesteaded a claim on the government up at Hubbard Creek. And that was a summer range. So they got some cows, milk cows and bunch. And mother and my two brothers went to the hills for the summer. And they had to live there. Mother had to live there 7 months of the year in order to file the prove up on the claim. And they milked cows. Well, then when I was 13, I had to quit school because I had warts in my squawk box and I didn't have very much of a speech. At the time, I didn't have any. So I took care of the place at Valley, and mother went up there. Well, I had three coal miners. My dad, my brother, and my uncle worked in a mine. And then I had two sisters, went to school. And I had to pack lunches for all of them, which I had to bake all the bread. We never bought a loaf of bread, baker's bread. That had to be baked. And we took 25 pounds of flour a week to bake this bread. And a sister, Margaret, she was the one that baked the pies. And my sister, Edith, the youngest one, she made the cakes. And I baked the bread and the cinnamon rolls for the lunches. And I had to do the washing for all of them on a washboard. At that time, they took that, had another kitchen built on the house, and then they put that little first building on the side of the place there. And I remember that, and it was there not too many years ago. And so that's where they put that into a grain, and I did the washing down there on a washboard for all of them. Sometimes it was 11, 12 o'clock before I got through. And I did all the canning, and I didn't put this down. Mother told me to can apricots, but cold pack them. And she says, when they start cooking, don't cook them too long, she says. And cold pack them. All right, but she didn't tell me how long to cook them. So when they started boiling, I took them off, and I put them down the cellar. So when Mother came down from up there, the hills, she says, what's that popping downstairs? We went down to see. It was my apricots. I did not cook them long enough. So she said, I don't want to lose all the jars. We better empty them. Sure, we emptied them. But here comes all the chickens. They ate the apricots. Talk about drunk chickens. Oh, it was... The drunk chickens. So that's how I learned to can. I had to pick the fruit and can it. I'd can 100 quarts of peaches a day and bake bread, 12 loaves a week, 12 loaves at a time. How I did it, I don't know, but I did. So Daddy always called me his little boss, and Mother was his big boss. Let's see, now where am I going?
Tell him about the butter.
Okay, and then Mother was up at the homestead. Joe and Johnny went up with her in the summer, and they milked cows. And Mother made butter, and she made 50 pounds a week. I thought it was twice a week, but it was 50 pounds a week. She brought it down on horseback. Well, Daddy was a fire mountain ditch walker at that time, and they sold the butter to Somerset. Well, they sent me up there. I was only 9 then. And Dad, I couldn't carry that butter, always. So Daddy carried it to Somerset. He walked up there with me. And then he walked, took care of the farm out in ditch. And he took the butter to a friend's house up there. And she took out 6 pounds for her. and fix a pound so I bucket so I could carry it. I didn't go very far around her. I got rid of the butter, 50 cents a pound. And after I sold the butter, and Mother said, well, she said, they're good people in Somerset. She said, you know, you come home, never did miss a penny. They did. They made the change, because I didn't know how to make change for when they gave me the bills. They did it. And I had to walk back by myself. Now I got you at home.
You told me something about one of the men that wanted the butter.
Oh, I didn't put that down. It was, well, that I sold the butter in the first part of the town, just the first half. Well, then that policeman of Somerset, he got a hold of me one day. He says, very rough talking to me. He says, all right, young lady, next time you come up, if you don't bring me butter, I'm going to cut your ears off and make soup. And I thought, oh my God, I'll bring you some butter. And that was another half a mile walk clear up the other end of town and half a mile back to deliver him 3 pounds of butter a week. Rich, I did it. I was scared of him. And then, let's see. And then, when I was 17.
Well, let's not get to that yet. How about the schools? Can you tell them about the schools?
Okay. When I started, let's see, there were schools with my three oldest ones at Valley, the one school. And that is the one that's in Paonia at the bridge. My brothers and sisters went to school there. And then I went to school there. But it was only the one side of the building. It was one building. One side was kindergarten, then the first grade and second. Then the other side was third and fourth and fifth. And later on, they built another building, and that was for sixth, seventh, and eighth. And that building is at Bowie. It's a fruit stand now, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And it has remained at Bowie. And we had to walk the 2 miles to school each day. And
tell them about the setup in the school.
All right. They had a old-fashioned school desk, and we had those desks that had your own desk, the old-fashioned ones. And then for heat, they had one of these here great big furnace like they have in some of the basements now. Each room had one of those. And the janitor was the one that built up the fire in the morning and had it fixed so it lasted all day.
And then what about the subjects that you had in school?
The subjects we had arithmetic, and the books and the answers was in the back. And then we had spelling and reading, and then a penmanship. We really had to write. That was her. And I didn't do much reading because I had those warts in my throat, which I didn't talk very much at the time. So when I was about 13, that's when Mother took me to Delta, and I spent 6 weeks down there, and they burned them out with acid. So I don't have that problem. And now we're
let's pause. Do you recall your teachers and their names?
Yes. Mark. And the other one, I don't remember. If I thought about it, I could have had that.
Well, maybe you'll think of it yet.
When I was in the first grade, I didn't do much talking on common throat. But I was going to help the teacher go around and help the others. And when I went to in school every morning, she had a little rope. She tied me to my desk. So I didn't help anyone.
All right, wait.
Buckets, and they were in cartons, the regular heavy cartons, butter was. And then she wet tea towels and put in the bucket and covered it. And they, when the lady had them, she put them in a cold room.
You said cartons, was it more like Crocs?
No, it was this here heavy plastic board with the plastic wax inside. And each pound of butter had its own container.
Mm-hmm.
And that, once you get them cold and wrapped, the butter didn't melt. Mm-hmm. One time it did, I had 3 pounds. And I said, I'm gonna take them home. Lady said, nope, I'll take them. So I never have brought any butter home.
Mm-hmm.
But the butter was well good, took care of that way.
Frank, did you have a question?
I wanted to know what butter cost a pound in those days.
50 cents.
50 cents a pound?
Yes.
And what year about was that? You were...
Let's see. It was about 19... I was 9 years old.
About 19... 20. About 20. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? June?
You never did give us your folks, your parents' names, which I think we should
have. I have that here.
We were going to fill all that in later because we can't do it all today.
Okay.
It'll be on the tape. Yes, we'll get that. Why don't we give you...
Well, what was your name? What was your parents' name?
Marta.
And so you're related to Johnny and you're a sister to Johnny and
Marta
and all of those...
Right. Yes, she is.
And I want to know what year your daddy came over here.
It's in the 1900s.
Uh-huh.
What year did your mother come?
She came later on. To give the definite date, the year she came, I think it was 1902.
And there were the three children at home. They were separated. There's only 2 years difference between the children. So... there wasn't too long till he was over here.
So soon, then Dad sent for her just soon he got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which three children?
I've got it here.
No, tell them.
All right. The three was born in Kalaska, Italy. It was my brother Jim. Let's see, I'll have to read that. Jim was born in Kalaska, Italy, born August of 22. And died 27th of February, 1974. He lived to be 78. In Virginia, she married a bear. She was born also in Alaska, August the 23rd, and died March the 10th, 1973. And she lived to be 75. And Santina, she changed her name to Nina now, but she married a Shiraz, and then she married a Richard. She also was born in Kalaska, born September the 11th, 1900. And then, then Edith Marta, and she married a shipman. She was born at Valley. She was born March the 2nd and died July the 13th. 1955, she passed away at age 40. And then, Joe Marta, he lives up here. He was born in Somerset, May the 11th, 1904. John Marta, he was born in Somerset, March the 2nd, 1907. And Ellen Marta Barney, I was born in Summer Valley on the new place, April the 15th, 1910. Margaret married a white, and she was born there on March the 2nd, 1912. Edith married a shipman. She was born at Valley, March the 2nd, 1950, and then died 1955.
Now, Nina's living now in California.
She lives in California.
The story about Nina is interesting. Tell them about Nina getting married.
When she went to Copeland?
No, when she got married and had those children.
Oh, she was married about 14, and she had three children. And one, the boy, the three kids, Harriet, the oldest girl, and then she had Betty, the second girl, and the little boy, Eddie. And she was married, and then she had those three children. She was in Paonia. She was working at the hotel. Well, she took a notion to go with them to California. She left her three children, deserted them. And so her husband picked them up. And between Miss oldest sister, Mrs. Bear, she took the children. And then also Mrs. Irma Sorrells took the children. And Mother then took the children. But it was up to Mother to go to Homestead for 7 months a year. Then it left me with three more young ones to care for. So finally I sent four of them to school, and the little boy was still small. I took care of him at home. I took care of him. And then at the age of 17, I got married. I married Howard Nation. And then my sister took the kids, and her husband provided well for them. He was there at my sister's and had a place above her. So between them, they provided it after I got married. So then we took the folks' place there at Bowie, and my folks moved out here on Roger Mesa. Johnny and Salome bought the place, and they went to California. My folks did. And Howard and I, we homesteaded a place up Hubbard Creek, which was 10 miles up the creek up Hubbard, up next to Jake Crawford and the Wade place. And we had to build fence in order to approve up on this government land. We didn't have the money. But there's a lot of jack oaks on them hills. So he took the jack oaks and built a fence, three or four different sections on that land up there. And they were sheep tight. And there is a picture of it down at the courthouse, I think. I saw it once, where the airplane took the pictures of the fence. And the government okayed it. So then, in the summertime, we'd go to the hills, and he'd build fence, and I'd go around early in the spring to every sheep outfit in the mountain up there. Sometime I didn't get home till 9, 10 o'clock. It was so far away, I went and gathered up bum lambs and came home and milked my cows and fed my lambs. I did that for a number of years. And then when I got 250 ewe lambs, there was a sheep outfit up there by the name of Gus Osborne. He said, "Elma, in the fall, I'll take all your weather lambs and I'll give you ewe lambs pound for pound." Well, I got two lambs for one. I soon built up. I finally built up a nice little herd. And we went into, and I had 250 lambs. Then we mortgaged them, and Shipley, a sheep outfit, lived out here on Roger Mesa. He had 300 head to sell with allotment for $3,000. We went to the bank, we got the $3,000, and we took up that Page siding outfit down there to run them for the winter. And we had land up there and a government land too. We was doing fine. And then later on, Reynolds, a herd of sheep got into alfalfa, and they lost a bunch of ewes. And they notified me, and I bought those for 85 cents a piece, 60 head. And I took care of them. that down at the home, down at the place at Valley, before we went to Hills that summer. And Howard had built me fences in the orchard in different sections. And he said, every day after you feed them, you drive those lambs around from one place to another, because when you go to the hills, you're going to have to drive them up 10 miles. So when I fed them, I drove them around the orchard. And with that whole little herd, big herd went up in the morning. In the afternoon, Howard and I and Bill, we drove my little herd up there at the mountain, 10 miles. It was fun. So, Howard took care of the allotment, because we only had 300, and different ones had 200 or 500, and that allotment had to be up, 1,000 head to call the allotment, that many sheep on each allotment. So then after they call that a pool allotment. So my husband then, he herded sheep in the summer, and I took care of the place up there and took care of my 200 head that was left at the house. Me and my little lambs I kept raising. And then to take care of the camp while he was herding, I had my I had my horses that I packed, and I took care of the camp and moved his tent, cook tent, once a week, and he moved his bed tent every day, because sheep slept different place every day. And I did that for 3 years. I moved camp. And then after that, why, we came down, and then his mother moved back from California. So, of course, we had this going real good. And that fall, then his mother came back, and she says, Alma, you married my baby, and he's not living with you anymore. He's moving in, taking care of me. I says, fine. Fine. So I asked him, I said, how do you agree on it? He says, mother comes first. He says, fine. I said, fine. You know, darn poor chicken can't scratch for herself. So what did I do? He let me have the place in the hills, and I sold that to Dean Allen for $2,700. And I took that in a little car and went to California. And I scratched for myself. I moved in with my sister. My folks lived there. My brother lived there. Two sisters. So I was all right. And I lived with my sister. And I left Thanksgiving Day. And in January 19th, I remember that, his mother and him came to California. Says, please come back. We'll give you everything in your name. I said, you tore the playhouse up. Now you go back. I'll stay. I'm working every day at the wire company. And I said, instead of working 18 hours, I work 8, but last week I got a check. So I stayed. So later on, then I married Earl Adams. He was a serviceman. And we stayed in California 4 years, and then the war was over. Then we moved to Kentucky. He was a Kentucky man, into old Kentucky. And we stayed there 4 years. While we was there, we adopted a little boy. And he was about 2 years old. And we stayed in Kentucky, and he drove truck in these little coal mines. And the way they took the coal out of the mines, they had these the littlest Shetland ponies that you can find. That's what they pulled the coal out. And the men worked in there on their knees in the mine. And their pony that pulled the coal out of the mine, they took that and opened the car door at night, and it rode the back seat, back and forth. So then that went on where they shut down these coal mines on account of they wasn't keeping up the government rules. So then we sold that, and we left there and went to Indiana. And we bought a 40-acre farm there. And he went and worked at Brookville at the roofing company as asphalt roofing. And we took what we had in that big truck that he hauled coal with and all. We took that and went and bought a Ford tractor with all the plows and disc and everything. He worked at the mine, and I farmed the land. I plowed and got the land all ready to put the corn in. And the neighbor lived up on there, and he says, I better come plant your corn. I'm afraid you might not do a right job. And he said, you've been working so hard, I'm going to plant, give you the corn planter. Mine's a good one. So I used it and planted it and planted the corn. And I cultivated it, and I put in an acre tomatoes each year. And when the tomato season come, that was up to me. When he went to work, I went to pick tomatoes. And I brought them down where we could take them in a truck to the canning factory. And then after that, well, then he went, when he come home, he loaded the tomatoes, and he went to canning factory. And I'd go in and cook his supper. Then I'd get in my pickup, and I'd go to the canning factory and give him the pickup and tell him to go home. And then I stayed there sometime after midnight before my truck was in the line to get unloaded. And I did that for 3 years, planting tomatoes and all. And then I had the little boy. And then we got a letter from a young girl. And she wanted to know if we would like to adopt another baby. She said, this is her second one, and she wouldn't give a penny for it. And I said, maybe it'd be my red-headed, freckle-faced girl that I've been a-wishing for. And then I went to the hospital and had surgery for gallbladder the 8th of February, and the 15th she was born, and they gave her to me. So then that stopped my farming for a while. So then we went and got her from Kentucky and brought her back. So I got my little girl, my freckle face, redhead. And I've always wanted a large family. And I only had one son. So I've got, my son has two kids, Lemoyne Nation and Linda Ferrier, the two, my grandkids. Then the boy I adopted, he has two girls. And then Gwen, the one's here with me, she's got four. I have their pictures. So then, after we was here 4 years, then I got sick. Well, no, I run a filling station. Did I say that?
No, you haven't.
Well, then, while we was in Kentucky, I just will skip that, hadn't I?
I think so. Let's give them a chance to ask about Somerset.
Yeah.
Any more questions now? I was looking here. Tell them about where you swam in the river.
Yes, you know, the river was real high at those days. And my folks lived right, well, that place, the valley, was right next to the creek where it made a circle, made a very big pool there. My, that was a wonderful place for people to come and go swimming. But I never got to go because I had this little boy, and he said, you drowned. Probably would.
Did a lot of adults swim there too?
Yes, yeah, they came up from Bowie and Somerset. That was a great swimming pool.
Is there a landmark that you can...
Not now, it's all washed different. I noticed that there's none of it there now.
You mentioned there was a whirlpool and a hole?
Yeah, but that was then.
Yeah.
But it's all washed different, rivers wash different channels now.
What was it close to that we might recognize?
Well, it is after you pass where the house was. It's just down over the hill.
Okay, about midway between Bowie and Somerset. Then.
Yes, it's still there by the place that was still on the homestead land.
You told me, I believe, that you didn't recognize the milk ranch, or you didn't swim there, right?
This is where the pool was.
This is where it was?
Yes.
All right.
I didn't swim there because the little kid wouldn't let me go.
Oh, the Milk Ranch is where the swimming hole is?
No, no, on my folks' property at that time.
Ah, so.
Yeah. And the channel, the river's been changed, the channels around so much now that there's nothing like it was then.
But your old home there, part of the buildings there still have those sidings of the railroad cars, doesn't it?
No.
No?
No. We discarded that after we took over.
Oh.
No. Then you see the old, the home that the folks had, it burnt down while I was living there. It burnt down.
I heard you say the Milk Ranch. What was the Milk Ranch?
Okay, that was about a mile from the west end of my, of the place, of the folks' place. And they, Redentix was their name. And they had a lot of cows. And this land, as you go to Somerset, you probably remember there used to be a kind of a parking lot there.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Milk Ranch at that time. And that was Somerset land.
Yeah.
And they called it the Milk Ranch?
It was the Milk Ranch because these people, they milked the cows. And then he took, with the one horse wagon, took the milk to Somerset. And he delivered the milk. And his horse took him to the next house and stopped, and he didn't drive it. And that was called a Milk Ranch. Later on in the years, then Somerset took that land back, and they built across the river from that east side from the Milk Ranch, across the river. You probably have been up that way. You noticed the swinging bridge.
Yeah.
Well, they built the place on the other side. They moved over there.
Yeah.
The old folks did.
That's why there's no house at Milk Ranch, huh?
Yeah.
I see. That's interesting.
That was a beautiful place because it was interesting. She did all the bottle washing, and she had a horse in a big barrel, 50-gallon barrel, and she went to the river and got her water and brought it in.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the Milk Ranch, just about a mile this side of Somerset.
Yeah.
That big park down there.
Yeah.
They used to have 4th of July, big blowouts and softball games.
Next to the highway was a barn, clear across.
Is that right?
And then the house was on the end there.
Oh.
And then she had the most beautiful Sweet Williams flowers all over.
Huh.
And she watered that with her water that she had washed her bottles with.
Mrs. Redentix still lived across
there, across that bridge. Her son. And after they died, well, his father died, and they had to carry him across the swinging bridge. And then later on, their son got married, and they moved in. And the son's wife still lives there.
Yeah, that's the one I know
of. Mm-hmm. She lives there.
How many people lived in Somerset in those days then?
That town was large. Imagine around 200 or more people in there.
I noticed that you had a picture of the old store there.
That was a.
And I wanted to, I'll be interested to.
She made some interesting remarks about it. But, look at it and tell them. This is the Delta County Independent, Monday, December 14th, 1981. And it's a picture of the Swasatch store at Somerset.
And then here's also the picture of mine. This, no.
Well, tell them about the guards and all.
Okay. This is something that Daddy was working there. And their money, payday, came in on the passenger train. It was all cash. And then when they paid them, they had to take so much out in scrip. And when the money came in on the train, there was guards there with guns. Guard this money. And then when they took it up in the upstairs here, there was a guard in every window with guns. And I happened to get one of the guns. That was my hunting gun. And
I noticed the stairs go up in front and down and back. Did they go up and get their money and go out the other way?
And then underneath here was the meat market.
Mm-hmm.
And the store, it had everything. It was a beautiful store. And then on the side of the store here was a depot.
Without when you took your, when you were paid in money, cash, U.S. money, then did the store take your money and give you script, and then you gave it to the store and you paid what you owed? Or
no, they, when they give you the money, cash, they give you so much, and then so much script goes with it.
You had to buy it at the store.
That was the company store.
That was a company store.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had a hospital up there. Half of it is still there.
Where is that?
The first house is where the boss lived, the foreman of the mine. And then there was a long hospital there. Half of it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tell them where this was.
Huh?
Tell them where the store was.
A store is where the silage?
Silos.
That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then up on the hill, right back of the store, up on the hill there a little bit, right in front of the mine here, this is living room, there was a boarding house there. Great big boarding house there.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they put the road in along the ditch?
I really don't.
Mm-hmm. No, tell them about how you got in and out of Somerset.
Well, only way you got in and out of Somerset, you walked the track. There was no road. It was Fire Mountain Ditch.
Oh.
And then the track. That's the only way you got in and out. But I don't know when they built the road. I don't remember that. But Dad was telling there was no road.
Well, when your daddy went in there, there must have been a trail.
Well, they had
the railroad.
It's all railroad.
And the railroad didn't go in until 1980, did it?
Huh?
The railroad didn't go in until about 1980, did it?
No, it was there in 1902.
Well, it was?
Yes.
Somebody with the coal out there.
But it didn't come to Hotchkiss in 1904.
Yes.
Maybe that was passenger
train.
Oh,
I don't know. No, the freight train come and got coal because Daddy worked at the mines.
That was true of Redstone and Marble also.
Huh?
The only way they could get into Redstone and Marble was the train.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and obviously there were passenger trains even then. Because of the boxcars and all that you talk about. It wasn't all coal cars.
The boxcars, and then the passenger train came in at night
mm-hmm.
and out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their transportation in and out. Mm. If you went to town, you had to stay all day.
You want to mention this picture?
And now this picture here is a big Capitol house there at Bowie. It's still there. And it was built in Bowie, built in 1911. But it didn't, I did have some more of these, but a lot of them says I didn't, I'd like to take the paper and read it, but I didn't get them back, so. And then this is the way that Bowie houses was built.
Oh, yeah.
This is their start.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any activities at the big house? At this one?
Well, it sits up there on the hill.
But did you ever go to parties there or have any occasion to go there?
There's nothing there. Well, I went there many times because there was Mrs. Tibby Snedden.
Mm-hmm.
She lived there too.
Her folks lived there.
Yeah. Hmm? And Bill and I was sick and had this trouble. Well, they was all real good to me. I went there many a times.
Well, was the post office there somewhere?
Post office sat right over here, right on the side.
And
it's still there.
That was the big boss's house or something? Was that what you call that? The company's?
This is a company house, but Jack Bowie was the one that ran the post office. If you then up the valley, the first house, I haven't got, no, it's
isn't
down.
There anymore,
it isn't there, but this is above the road.
Yeah.
It was, as you go in valley, first house was Jack Valley's home. Second house was Alec Valley's home. Third house was Bill Valley's home. And those were three was married. And then Wallace, he lived at the big house. He never did get married. And then...
Were they all brothers? Was four brothers?
Yes. Yes.
I think Wallace was an uncle of Chip Sneddon.
Huh?
Wasn't Wallace an uncle of Elizabeth Sneddon?
She's uncle of Elizabeth Sneddon, yes. And then Wallace and those boys, father and Agnes, them, and Ann, Mrs. Sneddon, they, let me see, I'm going to hit them a second. Their father was a doctor, company doctor, and their father, I was the one that delivered me at Valley and my two sisters.
Do you remember Dr. McConnell? That was a company doctor up there.
Yes. Yeah. Bill, when he was a little baby, he always had earache. And Dr. McConnell, Somerset, was a doctor. He gave me a little bitty bottle of medicine I put in his ears at the time. And he has never had an earache since. Mm-hmm. What it was, I don't know.
You mentioned another doctor to me, too. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, I said it was Dr. Crawford, but it isn't. It was Dr. Bowie.
All right. Okay, all right. So there were doctors in Somerset then?
A doctor in Somerset had the hospital and was a company doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that my sister took to me to because Dad was working mine. He was the one sent me to Delta, and they burnt those warts out of acid.
Alba, is it true that Teddy Roosevelt hunted bear up on the land there where you had on Hubbard Creek?
Now that I don't know.
I've heard that.
Could be so.
I have too, Captain, that from the Meeker side.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was closer to Redstone, but I don't know. Paul Allen told me that there was a place up there.
Good story.
Well, and he was in Glenwood Springs too.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Where when your daddy worked in the mines or up in there, were they unionized?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute.
You had a company doctor, you had a company store, you had the whole
I think
show.
It was.
And script.
And yeah, script.
But like did you need a union if you were working for a company? I'll bet they weren't.
The difference is
oh, boy, yeah.
Not when you're getting paid
that's
by.
That's why the union came to be.
Yeah, right.
Any dentists up there, or did you have to work to
Delta? The dentist came from Paonia.
He came into Somerset.
And went to Somerset every so often. Every week, the dentist would come up.
Yeah.
You had your doctors and dentists and everything up there.
Did they come up on a road then, or did they come up on the railroad, or?
Well, at that time. They had roads then, you see. That
were they
was
driving
down.
Cars, or were they?
Yeah, there wasn't too many cars at that time.
Yeah.
But they did fix a highway along the ditch bank, which is there yet today.
So be it.
Pardon the expression.
Was there anything there in the town besides, well, there was the store and the school and then the houses? Was there any other businesses, or was that it?
No.
Didn't you have dances someplace and... Fun thing to
they had a
good
building,
or?
School building, but I don't remember dances or anything.
Looks like they'd get together for Halloween
well,
or
of course, at those days when they wasn't much up there, there wasn't much that I would know about.
Some kind of big get together, you know, for the community.
I don't know if they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember her family was separated so much of the time between the homestead and the mine and the other place that they weren't able to do a lot of things together in that way.
Did you ever have any mining disaster in the mines when your folks were working there?
Well, see, I wasn't very old at that time.